If you would take your Bibles and go with me to Psalm 61. This being the fourth Sunday, we do a Psalm of the Month. I am up to Psalm 24, but we're doing Psalm 61. I'm generally a pretty positive person. I am an optimist by nature, so you can really throw some stuff at me and I can give it a few minutes and put a real positive spin on it. In an annoying fashion. But I'll be honest, in the last several weeks, it's grown harder and harder to be able to do that, given the circumstances in the world around us. But the one thing we know to be true is that God's Word provides just what we need, no matter what we may be facing. So, up against Psalm 24, I decided to go with Psalm 61 this morning. Let's read Psalm 61, beginning in verse number 1. Hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee when my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of thy wings. For thou, O God, hast heard my vows. Thou hast given me the heritage of those that fear thy name. Thou will prolong the king's life and his years as many generations. He shall abide before God forever. O, prepare mercy and truth, which may preserve him. So will I sing praise unto thy name forever, that I may daily perform my vows. Let's pray. Father, we come before you this morning with overwhelmed hearts. And we thank you for your word that is here to guide us in such a time. And so we pray before you as the psalmist has written. Lead us to the rock that is higher than we are. Hear our cries. Attend to our prayers. Be a shelter to us and a strong tower. Let us abide in your tabernacle forever. Help us to find refuge in the cover of your wings. Thank you, Father. We pray this through Jesus. Amen. As you read Psalm 61, it's evident that David is overwhelmed. He says this in verse number 2. He says, my heart is overwhelmed, or my heart is about to faint. I am about to faint under the burden of the emotions that I am facing. He talks about his cry in verse number 1. He asks God to attend to him, meaning don't just hear me, but do something. You know, sometimes with other humans, a friend, a spouse, we need them to just hear us, you know? Don't fix it. Don't do anything about it. I don't want you to intervene on my behalf. I just needed to share this. Just get it off my chest, right? But this is not where David is here. He's saying to God, I need to unload this, and I would like you to attend to it, to do something about this. David feels far away. He feels removed. And verse 2, he says, I'm at the ends of the earth. From the end of the earth, I'm talking to you. So he's in a bad place. Possibly physically, but definitely emotionally. One author says, an assault by enemies was the occasion, but a sense of far offness from God and a great distance from the sanctuary was the problem. Don't miss that point in this psalm this morning. David was definitely in the physical realm up against an assault from an enemy. But his feelings of being overwhelmed were not specifically that. They were because he sensed this far offness from the dwelling place of God, this far offness from that which was his refuge. Maybe you've been there. Maybe you're there this morning. Maybe you are facing a time where you feel overwhelmed. Have you let the troubles of life get you down? The stressors that we have here in the temporal can cause a sense of far offness for us from God. This feeling of a great distance away from his sanctuary. Now, we think of that word differently now. The church building where we gather, we call the sanctuary. Or if you want to have coffee and bubble gum, you call it the auditorium. Because you can't chew gum and have coffee in the sanctuary. But that's not what David means. It works. That place where he would be intimate with the presence of God. But for you and I now, new covenant believers, where is that place? Your body is now the dwelling place. And that takes this to an even deeper level, doesn't it? Even within my own skin, I don't feel right. Something is wrong. There is hurt, there is pain, there is a need. And church, given the events of the last several weeks, we would all admit it's easy to get overwhelmed. So I want to use Psalm 61 this morning and look at David's situation and see how he handles it. We know our God is able. Reviewing this in his word can be a great comfort to us in overwhelming days. And if you are here this morning and you say, I don't know what you're talking about. Things have been going great. The retirement fund's up. I got a promotion at work. We just bought our dream home. Well, praise the Lord. We're going to let you testify at the end and get the rest of us happy. And this is great. And you just make some notes and you use this in 3 years from now when you get there. In verse number one, we find the prayer of the overwhelmed. Hear my cry, O God. Attend to my prayer. I would encourage you this morning when you find yourself up against overwhelming things to let your prayer be just that simple. Help, Lord. Hear my cry, O God. That word cry in the English is the Hebrew word rinna, R-I-N-N-A-H. It was a word they used when they were speaking of a shrill, piercing cry of lamentation. A lament is a mourning aloud. And a lament is a penetrating sound to hear. It's a piercing cry, like that of a newborn baby. No one can refuse the cry of a newborn. It's as if God has wired that baby to hit such a pitch that at least the mother's ears cannot stand to hear it without doing something about it. This is the word that David speaks to God from this morning. Oh God, hear my cry. We would also know of a lament when someone is wailing in grief. They've lost someone near and dear, or something has happened that they can't stand or don't know what to do with, and they rinna. David says, hear my cry and attend unto my prayer. He needs God to more than just hear his prayer. He needs God to work for him. This is the prayer of the overwhelmed. In verse number two, we see the position of the overwhelmed. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. When the heart is overwhelmed, there often falls a dimness on the eye. Though the rock of safety is near, the mist hangs heavy and we often can't see it. David says right here, lead me there. I need to be led there. To this rock that is higher than I am. This rock that is too high for me to reach on my own. This place that I cannot get without help, which in turn makes it that place which my enemies cannot get to hurt me. I think of a child reaching up to a parent. I am a poor illustration of this given my stature, but you know the look. A little toddler who needs to be lifted up, who needs to be held, and the only way they know to go at this or to get this is to reach up. And even in their reaching up, they can't get what they are after, and it requires something more powerful than them to reach down and bring them to this place. This place, David calls, is the rock higher than David. It's natural to think of God being higher or greater than ourselves when we are somehow down and out. But it's in these times that we know that we need God. But when we're on top, we can forget about God and consider ourselves able to deal with any need that ariseth. I would caution you there. David doesn't make that mistake here. He knew that God was infinitely above him and that it was always God that he needed. James Montgomery Boyce said, "The people of Israel may have looked to David as their rock, but David looked to a rock that was higher than he." What a great leader. He says, "Lead me." There is a rock that is higher than our highest, but we all need to be led to it. Spurgeon said, "For our part, not only do we need a rock, but we also need the Holy Spirit to lead us to him. Our rock is Christ, but none of us come to Christ on our own. None of us come to Christ by ourselves. We need the Holy Spirit to quicken our dead souls, to awaken us to our spiritual need, to renew our wills, to bring us to the point of personal commitment to the Savior." Let me read you this lengthy quote from Spurgeon on this very psalm. He says, "How infinitely higher than we are is the salvation of God. We are low and groveling, but it towers like some tall cliff far above us. This is its glory, and it is our delight when we have once climbed onto the rock and claimed an interest in it. But while we are as yet trembling seekers, the glory and sublimity of salvation appall us, and we feel that we are too unworthy even to be partakers of it. Hence, we are led to cry for grace upon grace and see how dependent we are for everything, not only for the Savior, but for the power to believe on him." Holy Spirit, lead us to this place. Being overwhelmed leads us to this rock. Man's extremity of need is heaven's opportunity of leadership. When we don't know what we cry for, God knows and God leads. David has experienced this before in a time of being overwhelmed, and he's saying, "I need to get back to that place again." It's a place he knew, it's a place he had been to, it's a place that he knew he needed to be at again. And this is a place like no other. This rock that is higher than we are. There's no amount of philosophy that can take us from being overwhelmed to the place of which David speaks. And there's a place for good philosophy. There truly is a power to positive thinking. There are times when people will come to us in life and they can say just the right thing, and it sort of helps us get over the hump and just face another day. But in these kind of instances, there's no amount of philosophy, nor any psychology. There's no motivation. There's no medication. This place, this rock, is at a height that God alone can reach. Thus, God alone is our helper. The position of the overwhelmed is praying to be led to a place of comfort. So we see the prayer of the overwhelmed and the position of the overwhelmed. In verses 3 and 4 is the place for the overwhelmed. "Thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of thy wings." This is the place for the overwhelmed. Thou hast been a shelter. This place David wishes to be led to is a place of shelter. Have you ever been physically in need of shelter? When I was a teenager, we hiked 7 straight days on the Appalachian Trail in a portion of West Virginia. And as without shelter as that was, for about 9 of those 7 days it rained. And man, I'll tell you, there's a beauty to rain and there's a benefit to rain. But like Ernest T. Bass, I was right there in it. And you can only take so much of just... And it was the oddest thing. We would sleep at night in hammocks along the trail. You'd put a hammock up between two trees, and then we would put a piece of twine over your hammock, and you would kind of tarp off over the top of yourself to keep the rain and whatever else from falling down on your face while you slept there. But even in such a makeshift shelter, you got to where you look forward to first thing in the morning as you started your walking in the rain, and your boots are wet, your pants are wet, your pack was wet, everything was wet, and it was going to rain all day. You almost couldn't wait to just huddle up in that little pup tent shelter under a blue tarp and get some peace from the storm. David says here, and from a place of being overwhelmed, Lord, you've been a shelter to me. Life comes at us at times just like this. And the reminder here is that God will be our shelter. Even in the midst of that which causes us to require shelter, there he is. The rain hasn't stopped, but there he is, and he shelters over us. I also love the wording here, for me. You have been a shelter for me. This is someone with firsthand experience. He has been like us in this place of need, and he is letting us know God will be a shelter for you as he has been for me. Second, we see the place is a strong tower from the enemy. You've been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. You know Proverbs 18:10. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and they are safe. This man of war, David, knew all too well the importance of a strong tower, a place of defense, a point of attack. We presume that his enemy here is his son Absalom. The king has been exiled under the attack of his very own son. Can you imagine how overwhelming this must be for him? And during this time, he cries out for his rock, his strong tower, his place of defense. Third, he says, I will abide in thy tabernacle. So God is a shelter. God is a strong tower. God is the tabernacle, the tent. Now, David is still describing this place for the overwhelmed. But being in exile, or as he said in verse 2, to the ends of the earth, it's going to be very hard for him to dwell in the physical tabernacle. David knew of a place to worship and be comforted better than any physical house of worship. David would worship and find comfort simply by being in the presence of God. So can we, not just when we're gathered with the church. And then fourth, he says, I will trust in the cover of your wings. You can get the imagery there. Just as a bird would cover their young to nurse or to defend, so also would David find comfort in this place that is higher than himself. This is the place for the overwhelmed. And uniquely, this one place is described as four different places. It's a reminder of who our God is. He is not limited. From verse 5 on, we see a shift in the tone. We get into the praise of one who was once overwhelmed. We go from his prayer, we go from his place to his praise. Verse 5, he says, you heard me and you allowed me to be part of your people. For thou, O God, hast heard my vows. Thou hast given me the heritage of those that fear thy name. Verse 6, he says, you will prolong the king's life. Thou wilt prolong the king's life and his years as many generations. Now, certainly in the immediate context, we understand David is praying for Lent for his own life as king, and then secondly, praying for the length of his family upon the throne, which was a part of his calling and fulfillment as God's anointed. But thirdly, within the biblical context, not just the immediate context here, we can understand David's prayer in regards to the Messiah. Thou wilt prolong the king's life and his years as many generations. Comforting to David is that thought. Comforting to his children is that thought. Comforting to those who support him in his reign is that thought. But what does that do any further? Certainly nothing at all. But verse 7 says, he shall abide before God forever. Lifted up above himself and above earthly things, abiding as he does in the spiritual tabernacle under the shelter of God's wings, David here prays for a long continuance of days for the true king, the ideal king, for Jesus the Christ, the Messiah. This is what he means when he says, you prepare mercy and truth to preserve me. This is our preservation this morning. Self-preservation will only take you so far, but God's preservation for the bride of Christ, the church, through the work of Jesus Christ on the cross, will take you all the way through eternity. So, he says, verse 8, will I sing praise unto thy name forever, that I may daily perform my vows. He began feeling at the ends of the earth, feeling far from God with an overwhelmed heart. And he ends as he thinks about God, as he prays to God, he drew closer to God. He ends saying, I'm going to sing praise unto your name forever. I'm going to daily do that which is my reasonable service for you. How do we do that? How do we do that when men we've held high in the faith have gone on to be with the Lord and we wonder who's going to fill their shoes? How do we do that when those who seem aren't to the time of being no longer with us, they're too young for that, are no longer with us? How do we do that when there's a political assassination of one who is a Christian martyr? How do we do that when those near and dear to our church family have gone on to bigger and better things, but we still miss them right here? How do we do that when the doctors say, we don't know if there's much hope in this situation? How do we continually, daily perform our vows? You know what that looks like? In Romans, Paul said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. But at a point, that just becomes too much. At a point, that becomes something that I just can't get up out of the bed and do anymore. I'm overwhelmed. All of this is before me. And I know what I know, but I feel what I feel. I read and it affirms what I know, but at times that which I feel does not equate. My heart is overwhelmed. But we're given a map here. We're given a path, a pattern, an example. There's a prayer. There's a plea. There's a place, and it all ends in praise. And I promise you this, there's still going to be times in your life when you say, I'm doing it by the book, and you still feel like you're faking it. My preacher used to always just say, well, just praise God on credit. We use the Discover card for everything else. Why not for that? There's no need to doubt him now. He'll make a way somehow. Safely, this far, Jesus has brought me. There's no need to doubt him now. Looking back through the years, the problems and the tears, the Lord has never once let me down. And though I don't understand, still I trust in his plan. For he said that his grace would abound. As David thought about God, and as David prayed to God, he drew closer to God. He grew in confidence until he ends actually believing that he's going to be established in Jerusalem. He's going to be established in his capital cities for many days and for many generations. And we know that David's God is our God. It is our privilege to know him even more intimately than David did. For we know him in the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is the rock that is higher than we are, infinitely higher. He is the strong tower. He is the wings that shelter us. He's the rock of ages. Uniquely, the rock of ages has been cleft for us, crucified, that we might be saved from our sins. Rock of ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee. Jesus is our refuge. Augustine wrote, "They that are godly are oppressed and vexed in the church or congregation for this purpose, that when they are pressed, they should cry. And when they cry, that they should be heard. And when they are heard, that they should laud and praise God." Sometimes we need to feel that we are at the ends of the earth just to help us discover or remember how wonderful Jesus is. Let's stand and pray.